So, Lord, we do thank you and we bless you. Thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit that's in this place. Thank you now for your word, Lord. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. We bless your word, Lord. We thank you for your word. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord, as we try our best to navigate daily through this dark, dying, decaying, and fallen world, Lord. Let us see clearly what you say, Lord. Let us not live our life based on opinions or our facts, but actually the true and living God, the truth of your word. Lord, let us live according to the way, the truth, and the life, which we know to be Jesus Christ. Speak to us now through your word. Make it clear, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I did say Esther, amen. And let's pick it up. Esther chapter 5. And let's pick it up at verse 11. I'll read verses 11 and 12. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and of the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did not let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Somebody said amen. Amen. So we're going to do a quick review of last week. Haman is invited with Esther and the king. Haman does not like Mordecai because Mordecai does not bow down to him. Haman has some type of problem because he has everything and he has nothing at all. For some reason, he thinks Mordecai and everyone else should bow down to him. And it's a huge problem. And for you and I, we have to make sure that we understand that we are what we are by the grace of God. It's not because we're so intelligent or because of this or because of that, because without God, we would have nothing. And so it's a problem when it's like, when we're either driving on the freeway or we're on the bus stop or whatever, we see the people out there asking for money or just that are kind of down on their luck. And instead of seeing compassion, Haman sees contempt. Instead of seeing mercy, he sees malice. And so your heart has to go out to people like that. When we see them, when you and I say, God, what can we do to help? As opposed, you know, they should be bowing down to me. They need to know who I am. It's a huge problem that Haman has. How can you have everything and nothing at all because you don't have God in your life? That's how. Because you think that you are more than you are. That's always a problem. Amen. We talked about it. Proverbs, 17, 27, 5, something. I'm sorry, it's my notes. But it says, pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. If you want to fall off a cliff, continue to be prideful. Continue to not humble yourself. And then you will see you probably won't see the cliff coming before it's too late. Verse 12, Haman said, moreover, yeah, Esther the queen did not let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I'm invited unto her also with the king. All right, make a note of the hidden agenda. You have to see the hidden agenda of the enemy. Make no mistake, Esther is not Haman's friend. Haman is not Esther's friend. But see, you don't know it. Sometimes you don't know who your friend is and who your friend isn't until it's too late. That's why you have to pray for perception. That's how you have to pray for understanding, insight, and knowledge, because you really don't know. You could be hanging out with the enemy. You could be sleeping with the enemy. And if you're not married, it's more likely you are. You better pray for insight and the hidden agenda. Remember, people come into your life for two reasons. To take you closer to God or to take you further away from God. And that's it. It's all to it. So you have to see the hidden agenda. You have to see before it's too late. So here we go. Haman, he's all excited about this. Make a note. We talked about it last week, that the same thing that makes you all excited is the same thing that could destroy you. The same one you're talking about, this is the one, this is it, oh, I'm so happy, is the same thing that can destroy you without God. Yeah, you saw it a couple of weeks ago, they're celebrating a Supreme Court decision. The same thing you celebrate is the same thing that's going to take you to hell. You celebrating sin, I guarantee you, it's going to take you to hell. See, it's not about, for Christians, it's not about happiness, it's about holiness. Mm-hmm. See, okay, now you can get married. So what? Marriage is not the end all. Oh, the married couple said amen. Come on now. If you're looking for getting married to make you happy and to make you something, you got the wrong idea. You got some growing up to do. If you're looking because I'm single, I got it going on, then you got some growing up to do, because being single doesn't do it either. What does it? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what does it. Stuff ain't going to make you happy. It's not going to do it. And so that's where we make the mistake. He wants to celebrate. He doesn't know he's being led like a lamb to the slaughter. He's celebrating. He has no insight. He has no discernment. He has no perception. And what he's celebrating is the same thing that's going to take him out. Verse 13, yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Verse 14, then says Zeresh and his wife, and all his friends. We talked about it last week. Are all your friends idiots? You need to surround yourself with people that's not impressed with your title or your position that would tell you the truth. Why didn't somebody say, you know what, leave that man alone. You have everything. Matter of fact, why don't we try and help him? Have you ever tried to get to know him to see what his issue is? No, you don't have a friend that's going to tell you the truth? Then you really do need to find some new friends. I love you so much that I don't want to tell you the truth because it's going to hurt your feelings. The proverb said, "Open rebuke is better than secret love," and that's the frustration we have as parents, you know, because we have to sit in that heavy seat sometime. We love our kids so much that we are going to tell them the truth, whether they want to hear it or not. But it's a tough seat to sit in when someone is so happy about something and you got to be the heavy. You got to be the one to say, you know what? You know, I'm not going to say it. I mean, I don't want to bust your bubble, but have you really thought about this? It's only been 3 weeks. Are you sure you want to get married now? Do you really know that person? You sure you want to take that job? Are you sure that it's the right thing to do? Have you really prayed about it? Oh, see, they don't want it. But you have to. How much time have you spent in prayer and fasting about it? So somebody has to sit in that seat. And if you don't have a friend that can take you there, then keep searching for a friend. And then husbands, we have to be able to receive that from our wife. Zeresh, she agreed with all that. Wives, you know. You have that gift of, what do we call it, intuition. You just know it. Honey, it just don't feel right. All the men can say amen. Because we know we can count the number of times the wife said, honey, I'm not sure. Well, the Lord, we're going to put on the Lord with the Lord's. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then later on, honey, you were right. Thank God for wives speaking up. And then husbands, it's always up to us. As they're speaking, that we're praying and we're fasting so that what they're speaking, we can discern God is that where you're leading. But wives, you have to speak up. Husbands, you have to speak up if your wife is looking like she's going to take a wrong turn. Honey, I'm not sure if it's the right time. Wives, you have to receive that, praying and fasting. Hey, you talk about 28 years. I mean, that's 28 years of sacrifice. That's 28 years of praying and fasting. That's 28 years of compromise. Most people don't want to put in the work. It's not pilot. It's not autopilot. It's not cruise control, man. It is a lot of work. But if you practice doing the right things, then it gets easier. We've been practicing doing the right things in our marriage, and so it seems like it's easy, but it's still, it's still work. You know, you have, I was at the gym a couple of years ago, and I'm working out with a guy playing ball, and we just started sharing. He said, man, I'm just waiting for the kids to graduate high school. I'm out of here. Been married 20 years. He said, I'm just waiting for the kids to graduate high school. I'm done. I don't have it like you have it. I was like, wow. He said, I'm just waiting for the kids to graduate. It don't matter. The years don't matter. If you don't invest, if you don't work at it, it don't matter. It could be miserable because you're not investing anything into it. You have to put the work in. Amen? You have to discern. And you got to be able to receive when someone, especially your spouse, is speaking into your life. And spouses, make sure that you're praying and fasting before you just speaking. Did we lose a connection right there? You did cut my mic on today? Okay, all right. So, and spouses, make sure you're praying and fasting before you are just speaking. I'm going to leave that one alone. Amen. I'm going to leave that one alone. All right, let me keep moving. I'm not going to get much more out of that. But remember, I'm not getting married to be happy. I'm getting married because I want to glorify God and be a reflection of Christ loving the church through my marriage. The joy comes from God, and happiness is a byproduct of that. But if you just get married to be happy, no, you get married. You better be getting married to be holy. Holy matrimony. Amen. It's not going to go. I mean, look at Christ when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was on the cross, I mean, he had to endure so that we could be free. He said the joy that was set before him that allowed him to endure the cross. Amen. So we see the problem isn't Mordecai, but it's not the external Mordecai, it's the internal Haman where the problem comes in. All right, so here we go. He tells his, okay, then said Zeresh his wife, verse 14, and all his friends and him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou to the king that Mordecai may be hanged therein. He's telling his wife and friends he's going to kill somebody, and they say, okay. I mean, really? You tell your wife that you're involved in some type of sin, and she says, oh, that's all right, everybody does it. You tell your husband, oh, well, you know, everybody has issues. You know, we all make mistakes, so it's cool. Because it says, and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be built. So I wrote this down, so I didn't want to mess it up. All right. If for those of you that take notes now, and most of you do, all right. If you're not living a spiritually discerning life, you are slowly building your own gallows. Haman was building this for Mordecai, but he didn't even realize he was actually building it for himself. If you're not living, let me say it again, if you're not living a spiritually discerning life, you and I, we're slowly building our own gallows. And it's going to catch up to us in the worst way. I mean, let's take a peek into the future. We have the benefit of the word. So we can look and see how this thing ends. But let's take a quick look into the future. I mean, you're talking about your life. You're talking about your family. You're talking about your kids. Take a quick peek at Esther 9 and 12. See, we have the benefit of the word. We see that it's going to work out. Your situation where you are now is not where you're going to end. You have to stick with God. You have to endure. You have to deal with the haters. You have to deal with the persecution. You have to deal and persevere through. But that's where the trusting in God comes in. You have to know that God's going to work it out, and you have to get out of the way. You cannot lead your life by the flesh. You cannot leave your life by opinions or what you think. You have to stand on the word. You got to pray and you got to fast. You have to seek God. You got to offer. You got to sacrifice. You got to forgive. You got to compromise. You have to live your life by the word. You can't get caught up in what might be. You have to get caught up in what is and who is and he that is and was and is to come. So here's Haman trusting in his riches, trusting in stuff, thinking he's more than he is. And so we fast forward just a little bit. We're going to go back to chapter 6 in a minute. But I want to show you, as he was building those gallows, and I tell you, everything shifted, and we're going to see when chapter 6 and verse 1 comes, how everything shifted. I believe if he wouldn't have decided to take Mordecai's life, if he wouldn't have made that silly plot to kill people, his future would have been different. If you make a decision to go against God, then you got to deal with those consequences. So as soon as he makes this decision, it puts all this in place. Verse 12, Esther 9 and 12. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the palace, and 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is your petition, and it shall be granted unto? He's still granting her petition after all this. Or what is thy request further, and it shall be done? Verse 13, and then said Esther, if it please the king, bless you, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto today's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Verse 14, and the king commanded it so to be done. And decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. Go back to chapter 5, verse 14. Then said Zeresh and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged therein. Then go into merrily with the king and the banquet, and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be built. When you're not living a spiritually discerning life, you're building those gallows for your marriage, for your kids, for your life. Man, we don't see it now. Everything we do counts. Everything we do counts. If someone could have gave him some insight, man, you don't want to do that because it could backfire in your face. I don't know if that's godly. I don't know if that's the godly way to do it. And we're going to read in the coming weeks how he gets hung on that same thing that he built. See, because then we go to chapter 6 and verse 1. On that night, so he's going to go into the king the next day to tell that Haman needs, that tell that Mordecai needs to be killed. But in between day and night, it says, on that night, the king could not sleep. All God needs is one night to turn your whole situation around. That's all God needs. God doesn't need a lot of time. God doesn't need a lot of time. We talked about it last week. You worrying and you stressing and you can't sleep and all. God only needs one night. You got to trust in God with this thing. This is a faith walk. If we truly walk by faith and not by sight, then what are we truly worried about? Unless I'm actually trying to do it, then yeah, I am worried. I'm really concerned if I'm going to make it happen. Brother Tommy, I'm really concerned. If it all depends on me, oh, I'm really concerned. That's where the problem comes in. But when I say, God, I'm giving you 100% and I'm seeking you, and whatever happens, God, I'm trusting you, then I'm cool. I'm sleeping at night. I'm sleeping at night and I'm sleeping well. Because all God knows, I know all God needs is one night to turn it around. And God, whatever you're teaching me through this process, I'm going to learn it, but I'm going to stick with you, and I'm not going to get in the way. Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole nother level of trust. That is. That's some spiritual maturity right there. Yes. And in these days, we have to be spiritually mature. We have to be spiritually discerning. Otherwise, we're building our own gallows. And here it is, the king couldn't sleep on that. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before him. Normally when people can't sleep, they'll listen to music. Some will read. You might take a walk. You might go get you some warm milk, get you some water, use the bathroom or something. You might pray. But just so happens on that night, he couldn't sleep. The night before Mordecai was to be killed, he couldn't sleep. And he commanded the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Everything counts. Everything's recorded. Everything's recorded and everything counts. God is a God of details. God sees everything. God knows everything. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. That's why we're talking about it Wednesday night. We're constantly asking God to forgive us. God, what was I thinking? Forgive me. When I lay down at God, help me to do better, to be better. Because everything counts. verse 2, and it was found written that Mordecai, how do you happen to go to the page where Mordecai saved your life? I don't know how big the book of Chronicles were, but I'm assuming, let's say if it's just 3 pages, you happen to go on the page where Mordecai saved your life? And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, 2 of the king's eunuchs are chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. All right, so let's turn back and see where it actually happened. Look at Esther 2 and 21. Just going to unpack it a little bit because we've gone over this, but we're going to go back. But remember, everything counts. When Mordecai saw what was going on, I wonder if he thought, should I tell the king? I'll just let it go. Should I do the right thing or should I say, hey, that's his business. That's his problem. I'm going to stay out of it. I don't know. Did he have those conversations? But either way, verse 21, in those days, remember, it's timing. Verse 21 starts in those days. It's about timing. The book of Esther is about timing. It's about position. It's about favor. Verse 6 starts off on that night. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, 2 of the king's chamberlain, Bigthan and Teresh, of those who kept the door, were upset and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. So a lot going on right there. Esther certified it in Mordecai's name, not her name, but she did put her life on the line for Mordecai. I believe he was her cousin. We talked about, are you willing to put your life on the line on the word of your friend? Boy, that's serious. You have to be someone that can be trusted, someone who tells the truth. So Mordecai is not the boy who cried wolf when nobody can believe what he said. Oh man, I'm not falling for that this time. If you don't tell the truth, people can't believe what you say. It's a tough seat to sit in, but if that's the reputation you built for yourself, then that's where you are. Nobody's going to put their life on the line for your name this time. I can't do it. But she certified in Mordecai's name, putting both their life on the line. And when investigation was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they both were hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. And so then here we go. Let's go back to chapter 6. So the king can't sleep. For whatever that reason, the Lord didn't allow him to sleep that night. So I guess on some nights when you can't sleep, seek God, what's going on. And then think about it, on the flip side of that coin, God is keeping somebody up on your behalf. Why are you worried about your boss at the job? Stop, cut it out. Don't even worry about it. God's keeping them up on your behalf. God is working. I told you it's one of the essentials of God, the 7 essentials. One is that God is always up to something good concerning his people. That's you and I. So why are you losing sleep? Let God keep them up. Let God work on them. But when God does wake you up, and then you need to seek God. God, what are you trying to tell me? God, is there something I need to know? God, what am I missing? Who do I need to be praying for? Let God work it out. And the king said, verse 3, and the king said, what honor and dignity have been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. All right, nothing done. Okay, wake up, read. Oh, that's right, this dude saved my life. Hey, did we ever do anything for Mordecai for saving my life? No, king, we've done nothing for him. Mordecai, Haman's coming to say we need to kill this guy. God wakes him up and say we need to honor this guy. Let God work it out. Amen. Everything's recorded, so I made a note. So let's just quickly go there. Revelations chapter 20. You got to understand, the king is writing down on your behalf. Good, bad. That's the good news. All the good things that you do that nobody sees, God has made a list of them, and it's going to be revealed. All the other things that you do, God's made a list. That's the bad. God's made a list. Let's start at Revelation. I say 20. Let's start at 10. Revelation 20 and 10. So you see how this thing ends. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Nobody gets away with nothing. Amen. Don't be deceived. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't buy into all this stuff that the culture is teaching you, that if it feels good, do it, and everyone needs to be happy and all this. Man, God, that's not the word. It's not the word. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place found for them. You're not going to hide from God. You can't get away from God. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. Everybody, I don't care how much money you have in the bank, how much you don't. I don't care how big of a star you think you are, or how small you think. Everybody's standing before God. So remember, make a note. When people try and tell you that all religions lead to God, I'm going to say, yeah, they do, but all of them don't lead to the kingdom of heaven. Because everyone's going to stand before God. Yeah, all religions do lead to God, but they don't lead to the kingdom of heaven. And you take them right. What do you mean? Take them right to this scripture. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God. Yeah. You need to do the research. You need to investigate this. See, people want to try and make it seem like everybody's saved and you want to make people saved and all that kind of. It's just not that easy. It's a tough road. And nowadays, I mean, it's really no social advantage to being a Christian, because we're the weird ones now. We're the crazy ones. Everybody's talking about love. Nobody's talking about holiness. Love without holiness is sin. It is. It's all it is. It's just lust and sin. Oh, but I love her. Okay. I love him. Okay. If it's not holy, then it's sin. That's a tough. See, it's no social advantage of being a Christian. It's hard to be a pastor these days, I tell you. Nobody want to hear that kind of stuff. But I love her. Okay. Well, then if you love her, if you love God, I'm talking to the body of Christ. Now, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. We already know that. But I'm talking about to the body of Christ. And when you go to 1 Corinthians and you 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. Love is patient. So you really love her, then you wait for her. You wait to see how God's going to work this thing out. Because you already know that things will make you happy. You got to do it God's way. Anyway, let me get back to where I was. So we're all going to stand before God. And the books, this is where I was trying to go, verse 12, and the books were open. It's all recorded, but this time it is the King of Kings. It's not King or Ahasuerus, it's the King of Kings, and we're standing before God. And the books are open, that's everything that's been recorded. And if it's not covered by the blood, somebody's in trouble. Say, thank God our page is going to be covered by the blood. I can't see anything but the blood, that's my son in whom I'm well pleased. Go ahead and enter into paradise. Y'all already know. Y'all don't want y'all stuff being. Y'all don't want y'all stuff told. Okay. We don't want our stuff told. Amen. We already know, especially those of us that are older. You younger folks, y'all, hopefully you will stay on the right track. Those of us that are older, we don't want. We ain't even trying to. Man. Sweeping under the rug and the blood. Amen. Say, hey, sweeping under the rug and the blood and leave it there. Don't want to even think about that stuff. And I saw the dead, small and gray, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. So how many books are there? I think we talked about it, Sister Kathy, during Bible study one, during the course of the years. How many books are there? Whew, all right. It does say books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Everything counts. Everything's being written down. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. So he talked about it. We're born and then we die. But if you're born if you don't get born again, so you need to be born twice and then you die once. But if you're only born once without getting born again, you're going to die twice. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's all recorded. All right, let's go back to Esther. I could unpack that some more. We'll save that for another time. Oh, God. Are we back at Esther 6?
Yes.
All right, let's look at 4. So let's look how this whole thing transpires. Remember, God is always working in your life. Don't ever think God is not working in your life. He is. Sometimes you just have to sit and be still. That's why we advocate praying and fasting every day so you can connect with God every day so you can see God working in your life. Otherwise, you got so much other stuff coming into your head, you can't see it. You can't hear God. You're not spending time with God and you're wondering what's going on, but it's not God, it's you. And it's me that's not listening. So morning comes and the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house. Notice he was in the outward court. Underline outward court. Because remember, look at 5:1, Esther 5:1. And it says, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood where? In the inner court. See, that's the difference. Flesh has to stay on the outside. She fasted and prayed. She was in the spirit. She got into the inner court. It's a big difference. Flesh cannot get into the inner court. You can't get into the inner court. Flesh can only stay on the out and be a spectator. It's a big difference. She was on the inner court. He's on the outer court. He has no connection to God or the king. That type of flesh never gets into the inner court. You always trying to figure out why are people lifting their hands? Why are their heart lifted up to God? You're on the outer court. You need to break down that wall of pride and humble yourself. God, speak to my heart during worship.
Yes, yes.
You don't want to be on the outer court. So the inner court is a beautiful place. Remember when Christ died on the cross, the veil was torn, it was rent, and that gave us access to God. But when we die to self, then we have entrance to God's presence. It's a big difference. We all have access, but not all of us have entrance into the presence of God. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was coming to the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court, bless you. And the king said, let him in. Haman didn't have enough nerve to go to the inner court. Remember, because if you go to the inner court without the king's permission, you're dead right there. See, that's a big difference. He hadn't been seeking God to go there. He's all into the flesh and he has no connection. He has no idea. He think he knows. That's the In the Proverbs, it talks about there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. There's a way that seems right. Oh, this seemed like this is the right way, but it leads to death. Verse 5, and the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court, and the king said, let him in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, so Haman's coming in, he's wanting to talk about killing Mordecai. So, king, I want the king said, hold up. Let me ask you something. Before you can speak, the king, he wants to come say, I want to kill this guy. Well, he said, wait, well, hold up, Haman. Before you speak, let me ask you a question. Verse 6, so Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? Before he could get a word, God said, somebody say, God is awesome. That's when we have that song, The Awesome God. God is setting it up. Let God set your life up. Get out the way. You're trying to set it up. Let God set. Nobody can set it up like God. There's nothing too hard for him. God knows everything. God knows he's already seen it. He's working out. Get out the way. Get out of your own way and let God work it out. Stop getting in the way. God's trying to do something and then you get in the way and you come in talking and God's like, I had it. I had it. And then you got to start from scratch, start over again. So Haman came in and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor? Now, Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than myself? See, this dude got a problem. See, I told you. We already talked about it. This dude, he thinks he's more than he is. He's so full of himself, he thinks he's more than he is. So the king said, I want to honor somebody. And what shall I do? And then he's thinking, oh, man, I'm the stuff. And you all know how this ends. We got to, and that's what we're going to pick it up next week. Yeah. And I'm telling you, the whole book of Esther, God is not mentioned once. God is not mentioned once, but you see the hand of God throughout the book. You can live your life on your job and not mention God once, and people can see that God is in your heart and in your life. You don't have to mention God once to your neighbors, and they can tell by the way that you live your life that is something different about you. God is not mentioned once, but you see the hand of God throughout the book of Esther. And it only gets better. As I'm preparing and I'm studying, I'm so excited about what God is doing, because if your pastor's not excited about the word, then I don't know what's going on, right? You need to find a new pastor. Amen. But as I'm studying this, I'm trying to live this, because if you and I don't give God 100%, then we'll never know if he can work in our life like he's working right here. Amen. Until you and I give him 100%, we never give God the opportunity to work on our behalf. All right, let's take 1 minute and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. What a blessing, Lord. Lord, we see your hand moving throughout the scriptures. And we're praying, Lord, that you would move throughout our lives. God, we ask that you would allow our hearts to rest, to find peace in you, to trust you, so we could see, so we could discern, we could see your hand moving each and every step of the way, through the closed doors, through the open doors, through the opportunities, through the missed opportunities, through the ups and the downs. People are persecuting and hating us for no reason. And instead of being afraid, we need to run to you and trust you and then allow you just to work it out. So, Lord, I just want to pray. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Maybe that's you today. Say, my first step is to accept Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I need to get back on track. I've been putting my faith in a lot of other stuff. But I need to get back to the true and living God, not opinions and not facts and not even truth, but the true and living God, the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ. If you need to rededicate your life this morning, I'd love to pray for you. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home and you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I've never officially joined. I don't know if I want to join, but I think and I need to join. And you say, Pastor, I'm looking for a place where I can just feel the love of God, feel the love of the people, and grow closer to God. If that's you looking for a church home, I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. Elevate your hand. Lord, how we thank you on today, how we bless your holy name. I'm going to ask a few hands come up, go up. I'm going to ask my sisters to come up, Melissa, Katie, and Bree in the back. And I'm going to ask some of the ladies, as we always do, just to come in. Surround them with the love of God and the love of South Bay Abundant Life Church. We're not just members, but we're family. So hands go up for rededication. So, Lord, as we all stand here and we need to rededicate our life in some aspect, some way or the other, Lord. God, we thank you that you love us so much that you always give us another chance to get it right.
Yes.
And Lord, the difference is now we want to get it right. We want to be right before you, Lord. We want to give you 100%. Otherwise, we can't say you don't work because we've never put you to the test. Yes. Your word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blesses the man that trusts in the Lord. Test the Lord. God says, prove me, test me. So, Lord, we want to give you 100%. Your word says, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Yes. That there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, Lord, we thank you that you don't condemn us, Lord, and we don't want to condemn ourselves, but we ask for forgiveness, Lord. Your word says that you didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through you might be saved.
Yes.
Thank you for rescuing us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, that the blood covers our past, present, and future sins, Lord. But that's not a license to sin. That's a license to live right, to show that we are dedicated to you and that we want to serve you. We want to go out and make disciples and build your kingdom. So thank you, Lord, for Melissa, Katie, and Bree, Lord, and even the unspoken rededications, Lord. God, we thank you that you're at work in the life of your saints. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us another opportunity to get it right. We ask that you would give us traveling graces as we travel this, leave this place, but not your presence. That we would meditate on your word, on the word that was spoken today, how you're challenging us, Lord, to step back and let you work. We love you. We bless you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. God bless you. You are dismissed. And Melissa, did you raise your hand for membership too? You going to hang out with us for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the young lady you want to talk to, Miss Kathy. She'll get all your information. And thank you so much. What a blessing.
Thank you guys for welcoming me.
Amen. Amen.